And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, this is the weekend before Election Day. Tuesday is Election Day. Local elections, usually a big fall off from the national when, you know, election, when we have a national post in my area, usually only a quarter of the people who vote on a presidential election come out to vote for local elections. But these local elections are not unimportant. They're important. There are school boards elected. There are judges elected. There are a lot of local officials elected, governors. And in Pennsylvania, it's quite serious. What does it look like down in Lackawanna County?
Well, in Lackawanna County, we have a couple of interesting races. We have a judicial race that's going on between two women. If the primary results were anything, the Democrat, Mary Walsh Dempsey, should win fairly easily. However, her opponent, Nisha Arora, has been running a non-conventional race, talking about making history and referring to her Asian background, South Asian background, and that she's a woman of darker skin.
She's also a Federalist Society clone.
Well, she hasn't run much on what she thinks about the law or anything like that. She's just been running about making history and voting for someone who's different.
Well, isn't that typical of the right wing? They never point to what people should be concerned about. Whatever it might be that they can point to that's irrelevant, that's what they point to.
Well, whatever they can gin up their base with.
Yeah.
The social issues, so to speak, and not the issues that are pertinent to the office.
That's right. So, and this one is good because, after all, her base are accused of being racist. So she offers them a way to continue to be racist by voting for her, while she stands for exactly what they want, a restriction of civil liberties.
Well, her position is nowhere near as put forward as the judicial races across the state were put forward. And that's a big election. Also, locally, we have that undertow in a school board race here in Clark Summit and the surrounding areas, where a young woman, Kelly Barrett, has put a lot of money in, and there have been rumors going on as to whether or not she's really a QAnon person and, sort of hiding behind that type of thing. To her credit, she's run a race where she's putting out qualifications and ideas that don't necessarily reflect that, but there's been talk about her in that regard. And she actually had to put out a flyer that I got the other day trying to rebut things like that she's not anti-mask and had nothing to do with an offensive billboard that labeled people communist. There's rumors that perhaps somebody in her family was behind that. That kind of thing. But there is a movement across the country by the Republicans, and this gets into how the Republicans and the Democrats, the Democrats have become that's from the top down. They're interested in electing a president or a governor, but they haven't built up things on the base. And the Republicans have worked just the opposite way. And through that, they've gained control of school boards. They've gained control of state legislatures. And, of course, through the state legislatures, then they gain control of the gerrymandering and the limitations that they put on people's right to vote, things like that. And the Democrats just don't seem to learn. The last one who was really who had learned this, in my opinion, was Howard Dean. The Democrats, you know, where you had a 50-state strategy, and you fight everywhere with everything, and the Democrats abandoned that, and they still don't seem to get why they keep getting beat up on those things.
You know, there's an interesting thing happening in Scranton, which speaks directly to this. The day after Election Day, I think, the Scranton school teachers are going to go out on strike. They've been working for 4 years without a contract.
Yeah.
They decided they'd like to have a contract. The Scranton School Board really doesn't have the authority to do anything, right? The state has intervened and supervises what's going on. But the state is run by the Democratic Party. Now, though, how is it possible that the Democratic Party's political arm doesn't grasp that the Scranton school teachers are very significant in terms of voting and that they ought to have a contract?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. First of all, the state legislature is in control of a lot because they budget. And they set the form, and how much money is put into the state education and then how it's apportioned. And the school district didn't, but the Scranton Times did some research and found out that the Scranton School District has been shortchanged through the formula that's being used by tens of millions of dollars. They would, if the formula was applied right, they would be getting almost $40 million extra a year. And don't forget, they've lost money, tens of millions of dollars cumulatively over the years. Now,
so then in that case, if they know this, why isn't the governor making comments about it? Why isn't he leading a crusade? Why isn't he up here in Scranton saying to the school teachers, you're right, you need the raise, you should have the raise, the money is there, the Republican legislature kept it from you?
Well, why aren't the state legislators doing that?
The Democratic state legislatures ought to be doing that. That's my point. And that speaks exactly to your point.
Yeah. But then there's another complication, and that is the school board that existed prior to the state takeover. The teachers had a big hand in electing people to the school board. They've had candidates, and they've put candidates on the school board.
Were they in the majority?
They've at times, yes. At a lot of times,
you mean
yes.
In the last 4 years? In the period when there's no contract?
Well, I'm trying to think. I still think that the slate the teachers wanted was the one that has the majority at this point. But they're...
It doesn't matter. Even if the teachers did that, even if the union did that, even if the people that they voted in didn't come across as the union expected that they would, that has nothing to do with the fact that progressive people, the governor, Democrats, people who want to beat Republicans, people who want to claim to represent, they call it the middle class, I call it the working class, ought to be campaigning on behalf of the working class if they expect them to then support them. It's just that simple. I mean, supposing the union, the Teamsters were a union. The Teamsters were a thoroughly corrupt union. They were controlled by gangsters. Mm-hmm. Does that mean truck drivers shouldn't have had raises and shouldn't have been protected? The union didn't do the job. So others had to step up and take the heat and say, listen, put these guys in jail, do whatever you want, get rid of them. But the point is the truck drivers' interests need to be defended. That actually happened. There was a renovation within the Teamsters union. So the fact that the union leadership fell down on the job, which they may have, I'm not arguing in defense of them, doesn't absolve anybody else, and especially not political people who claim to be political leaders, who know that they need the support of the rank and file, not of the union leaders, but of the rank and file, from going out and supporting their just demands. Who in his right mind would want to go to work without knowing he's protected on the job, and who doesn't get a raise in 4 years? I mean, that's why the American worker hasn't had a raise since the 1960s in purchasing power.
Yeah, first you have the power of unions, and secondly, you have how they use that power or don't use that power.
Well, don't use it, but you can't blame the members because the unions are all structured like the government, top down. Top down. You need to democratize most of these unions. There are very few unions that are democratically run organizations, but the Democratic Party is not a democratically run organization. It's a franchise, electoral franchise. If it were run on democratic principles, the people who were elected would be bound to support the platform. But there are, in the Senate, 50 senators who are Democrats. There's 50 different platforms.
Well, so, you know, we're back to Will Rogers. You know, I belong to no organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
Exactly, and that's bad for the American worker.
And that's 80 years ago.
Yeah, so. That's 80 years ago, and it's bad for the American worker. Well, anyway, let's get back to the elections in Lackawanna County.
Lackawanna County, and there's a race for a vacant seat in the state legislature because Marty Flynn was elevated to the state Senate. That race shouldn't be too heavily contested either. It's a heavily Democratic district. The fellow that's running says he's only running in the interim. He was Marty Flynn's right-hand man. He's well-known in Democratic politics. He's a popular guy. We'll have to see. Now, one thing I wanted to point out, because you kind of touched on it, with the fall off in elections. Last year, we had a huge vote by absentee ballot, and it was used significantly by the Democrats. It's why Trump lost. This year, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, because Trump continues to say he didn't lose in Pennsylvania. But this year, there's pretty close to a 70% fall off in requests for absentee ballots, 60-70%. Ballots are heavily, the requests are heavily Democratic, and the ones that have been returned right now, the Democrats would appear to have about a 7,500 vote lead on those returned ballots because they've returned, over 9,000 ballots, and the Republicans have returned less than 2,000 ballots. So we'll see what happens here. But again, that's a big fall off in the state, and where that matters is in the statewide judicial elections that I alluded to earlier. And the Republicans this time have put a lot of money into it. Matter of fact, there's one group, the Commonwealth Foundation, I believe it is, that's put $2.8 million into the Supreme Court race. And the Democrats haven't really pointed this out. That one group of really business interests has, tried to buy this election and putting out negative ads and supporting the candidate named Kevin Dobson. And, a few years ago, the way the Democrats got control of the Supreme Court was when there were three seats up for grabs, and the Democrats organized. The trial lawyers were significant in organizing that. They put a lot of money in the race, and they swept all three races while the Republicans slept. There's no reason for the Democrats to to sleep, but they did. Now, there's also...
Dobson is running against Maria McLaughlin, right?
Yeah, Maria McLaughlin. And, the ads are misleading that attack her. She did, on a panel, it was a 2-1 panel, exactly what an appeals court judge should do, and that is overturn a sentencing that was done improperly. And sending it back. The person was not released. It was a heinous crime. But the person wasn't released from custody. They're still in jail, and they wound up getting the same sentence anyway. But, it's these little, nuances and these implications that the Republicans run on. Now, for the intermediate court, the Superior Court, which hears most of the appeals cases, the Republican candidates, you're seeing them on TV, and their messaging... we'll follow the Constitution, we'll adhere to the law, we won't make the law. And this is consistent messaging that the Republicans have had over the years, trying to convince people that the Democrats, who interpret the law in favor of the people are really undermining the Constitution. And, you know, again, there's been no reply. I've only seen one or two ads for the Democrats up here, and I've seen dozens and dozens for the Republicans. And this is one place on the margins, although the fact of the matter is that this case, that these races are going to be won, as they usually are, in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia suburbs. If the Democrats and the Democratic, the history is the Democratic turnout usually drops off to 11 or 12%, the Democrats can't win. If they get it above
statewide,
can't win statewide. If they get up to 15-17% in Philly, and if the suburbs come through, and we don't know, the suburbs have changed a little bit. But the Democrats, I talked to Marie McLaughlin, and she said if she can't get up to those levels in Philadelphia, she's going to lose no matter what. So we have to see what occurs there. I don't know how they're going to, how the vote's going to come out. The big wig down there, a guy named John Doherty, who was a union leader, is on trial for corruption. And so I don't know how much his union is going to be able to bring out the vote. We'll have to see. So that's Pennsylvania. But there is, you know, another election off year election. There are two states that elect governors off year. One is Virginia and one is New Jersey. New Jersey, you don't seem to hear much about. The polling seems to indicate that Phil Murphy, the incumbent, is going to win fairly easily.
And but he'll be the first Democratic governor to win a second term in about 20 some odd years.
Yeah, in a long, long time. Yeah. Although it's, you know, it's interesting that one of the Republicans that won a term, Christy Todd Whitman, has been out there with a new, forming a new group. And what they're saying is the Republican Party has become so distasteful that the ordinary Republicans, the ones that are non-Trumpist, should vote Democratic. Just to keep the Trumpist people out of office. But anyway, the bigger contest is in Virginia, where former Governor Terry McAuliffe is trying to regain the seat. And Virginia should have been an easy election. I mean, when he was first nominated, he was well up in the polls.
He was up by almost 18 points.
Yeah, and now there's some polls showing him down by as much as 8. Others show it's neck and neck.
The poll that shows him down by 8 is a Fox News poll.
Which I think is just trying to gin the bait. Yeah. But this is another example of how elections are. The Democrats are running on a national issue. We're not Trump, and you got to vote for us. The Republicans are voting on an issue that ignites their base locally. It's about education and what's being taught to their kids. McAuliffe made a gaffe when he said parents shouldn't have any say in what their kids are taught. That's not quite accurate. They have a right to have certain say, but they don't have a right to make the final decision. The final decision is up to the school boards, which is why the Republicans are running to take over school boards. Why they don't want teaching of things that make the white race look bad, among other things. And of course, Virginia, there's a long history of that. Remember when they first were being forced to desegregate the schools, Virginia voted to close all its public schools. Those are the days of Harry Flood Byrd and that machine there. And it's outlined pretty well in that book that we always refer to, Democracy in Chains. But we'll have to see.
The radical right and the Christian nationalists came together.
Yeah. And
it was over the cause of funding these what were called segregation academies. They set up these schools because they didn't want to integrate the public schools, so they set up private schools run by churches,
right.
But they wanted the government to pay for them.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of people want the government to pay for them. You know, Josh Mandel, who's running for office for Senate in Ohio against J.D. Vance for the nomination to fill the seat of Rob Portman.
This is worse and worser.
Yeah, it is. He's out there saying that education should be back in the school, the churches and the synagogues where it belongs. You know, there's no bottom on these folks. There's no bottom. But we have a Supreme Court that's tending to go along with this. We have that we've talked about ad nauseum about the religious influences of Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch and Alito on those things.
They're all for the Constitution, except the part that they're not for, which turn out to be the parts that deal with civil rights and civil liberties, the parts that deal with the separation of church and state, the parts that deal with every advance that the Constitution meant when it was written in the 18th century. Those they're not for. What they are for is all the parts that were concessions to the slave owners and that were written in so that the slave owners would accept the Constitution.
Yeah,
that they want to continue.
That they want to continue. And they want to continue suppressing information and then saying, see, there's nothing out there that supports you. You know, it's sort of like self-proving things. Like in Florida, the state is barring professors in the state system from testifying in voter rights cases. In other words, you can't, you know, this is the party that talks about freedom, right? But the free speech of the professors to discuss their expertise is being squelched because it's going to say things that are against what the Republican Party stands for.
Well, that's why they make all this hullabaloo about the so-called critical race theory, which is
first of all, it's not
hullabaloo is all nonsense.
It's not being taught.
Wait, hey, that's right. It's not being taught.
It's not being taught. And you know, in Virginia, they're talking about this woman got up in a school board and said, "My son has nightmares about reading a book by Toni Morrison." You know, and therefore, we shouldn't be teaching it. Because it deals in things like race and sex and what have you. You know, nobody realizes that this is a 17 or 18-year-old that himself has been active in Republican politics. And
a high school senior.
High school senior. It's an advanced placement class where people should be taught how to critically analyze and critically think about things.
Well, no, not if there shouldn't be any schooling.
Well,
after all, if the schooling should all be done in the synagogues and the churches, then all you got to do is read the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. This is a parallel of Texas, but someone tweeted out this week, this is a reminder of that scene in the great movie Field of Dreams where they're up on the where they're trying to ban books in front of a school board. The Amy Madigan character gets up and, you know, literally calls them fascists. And that's, you know, book burners, Nazis, so to speak.
Yeah.
And speaking of Nazis, this week Ted Cruz came out, you know, and said, which is technically true, that people have the right to give the Nazi salute. Of course, the way he was using it was typical Ted Cruz, but the response, he was using it in an attack on Merrick Garland. And Merrick Garland has to understand that he is no longer an appeals court judge, where you have, there's certain decorums of the courtroom and whatever. He's in the political arena, and he's being used as a pincushion. And he's really got to start fighting back. These guys are using these hearings as political theater to raise money and to gin up their base and have nothing to do with policy decisions that, you know, as to how to set good policy or to run things. And, right now we have Garland. He's still sitting on the Steve Bannon issue of whether or not he should be arrested for failure to comply with the congressional subpoena.
This point by Cruz that you have the right to give the Nazi salute is not true. You don't have that right. You don't have the right. Free speech is not absolute in the United States. The Supreme Court ruled that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater if there's no fire. In other words, a clear and present danger abrogates your right to free speech. Yeah. There is no such right.
Yeah, but if you're
the
out,
Nazi
if you're
salute out, is an incitement to genocide. You don't have the right to do that.
Well, that case was decided years ago by the Supreme Court in that Illinois case in the thing. You can give it outside, but you can't use it to threaten. And what Merrick Garland really had to come back with is we're not talking about someone saying something that's odious or giving a gesture that's odious. We're talking about actual threats. People who are getting on saying you should die and your kids should die, and here's your address and here's your phone number.
And who show up with guns.
Yeah, and who show up with guns and things like that. And he should come back to Ted Cruz with that sort of stuff.
Well, but Merrick Garland, like most of the Democrats, is, I don't know, a proceduralist? Politics
process.
Seems not to occur to these people.
Well, the type of politics that works anymore doesn't seem to be with these people. That's why you have a group called the Lincoln Project who say, hey, we know how to get at things. You guys have to, up your game, up your act.
Meanwhile, the Congress has been tied up by Manchin and Sinema. We needed a climate amelioration bill, a bill that stops the developing climate crisis in its tracks. Then we're not going to get it. We're not going to get it because the fossil fuel interests control the Republican Party and Sinema and Manchin. And therefore, the number one crisis facing the world, forget America, the world, America as well, they're going to block it in support of short-term profit.
Well, you've got the two Democrats there are coming at it from different angles. Don't forget, Sinema was a Green.
She's not a Green now.
Person. Yeah, but she was. Manchin was always.
I was 19.
Back in the good old days. Yeah. But Manchin, first of all, has been involved in fossil fuels in his own family.
He makes half a million to $1 million a year from the coal industry.
Right. And he comes from a state which has the perception that it's a fossil fuel state. But right now, what is there, less than 12,000 people employed in the mines?
Exactly. And that's in four states, not just in his state.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, but the people still have that, they're clinging to that. They're clinging to that.
Because there are no effective programs to help them out. Because the Democrats, among other things, don't campaign for it. Although there are plenty of grassroots groups in West Virginia who do.
Yeah. And the answer, of course, is not to elect Republicans. The answer is to elect more Democrats.
We want the right kind of Democrats.
Yeah, we won't have that chance until next year. But if the Democrats fail to do things, people are not going to elect them.
Well, on that note, we have to stop.
Well,
and this is a good note to stop on, by the way. Election day is Tuesday. And if you don't have candidates who support your needs, the candidates who exist should be defeated.
Yeah.
And you should act now to make sure that there will be candidates who support the needs of working people.
Yep. I mean, it's not quite vote early and vote often, but get involved.
That's right. Get your neighbors involved. Explain to them where their best interests lie.
Yeah, but I do have a better note to end on. My wife and I learned yesterday that our daughter has passed the bar exam.
Oh,
and
mazel tov.
She will be a lawyer in the District of Columbia. She will be sworn in shortly.
Good for her. Good for you. Congratulations to the family. And let's hope that the judges don't whittle down our rights so that there's no point in having lawyers.
Or elections.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City. 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.